Welcome back to another edition of the Disney Dish Podcast with Jim Hill. It's me, Len Testa, and this is our show for the week of Schmurz Day, September 26th, 2022. On the show today, news and listener questions. Then in our main segment, Jim tells us about how the parks closed this week back in 2004 ahead of Hurricane Jean. And that's from someone who's getting on the Disney Wish tomorrow in the Caribbean with me. Way to tempt the gods. What could possibly go wrong, Jim? Let's get started by bringing in the man who says that when people tell you to use your brain, respond with, "You mean the brain that tells me to touch a cactus every time I see one?" It's Mr. Jim Hill. Jim, how's it going?
And why do so many people have succulents? It's like literally, oh, meet my wonderful pet porcupine.
It's true. And it is the thing where it's like, is this a hard spike? Is it a soft spike? And some of those cactuses have spikes that actually detach and stick in your skin. But you don't know, Jim, until you touch. Learn by doing. That's what I always say.
There we go. And that's why I can't use my left hand.
It's fine. All right, let's do a quick shout out to subscribers over at disneydish.bandcamp.com. Thanks to new subscribers Chris Miller, Scott Walker 88, J.S. Belfour, and Jordan Thornton. And longtime subscribers Mint Zella, Thomas Reed Wiley, and Michaela Sande. All subscribers since 2015. I didn't think, Jim, the Catholic Church prescribed penances that long, but here we are. Jim, these are the Disney Imagineers trying to turn the inflatable kites from the soon-to-close Animal Kingdom show Kite Tales into helium-filled passenger-carrying replacements for the Magical Express shuttle service. They say it's feasible as long as Baloo stops forgetting where he's going and heads off to lunch instead. True story.
Just when we thought that traveling on 528 wouldn't get any more interesting, it's like,
It does avoid traffic, and it's not helicopters, just saying.
Cool. All right.
All right, Jim, let's do the news. Folks, the Disney Dish News is brought to you by Storybook Destinations, trusted travel partner of the Disney Dish Podcast. For a worry-free travel experience every time, book online at storybookdestinations.com. Jim, I would like to start off with some culinary news, if I may. And that news is that I have discovered the single best thing to come out of Disney World's 50th anniversary, the chocolate pyramid dessert at the San Angel Inn in Epcot's Mexico Pavilion.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Jim, this is a 10-inch tall chocolate shell replica of Mexico's pyramid. And inside the chocolate shell is chocolate ganache. It all sits on a pedestal of Mexican cinnamon sugar sponge cake, and it's surrounded by scoops of vanilla ice cream topped with caramel sauce and chocolate chunks. And in the vanilla scoops, Jim, are placed flaming sparklers because all food is better with fire.
And this is a relatively new add to the menu? It's
actually been there forever, but I was having pre-cruise drinks with our friends who were going to be on the cruise, Zach and Becca, and they said, "Have you tried this?" And I said, "No," but then I texted Christina, and she's like, "Oh, yeah, this is the most amazing thing that Disney's done for the 50th. She said the chocolate artist who made it is one of the best in the world. He's a visionary. He is to desserts what La Cava is to tequila. Six kinds of chocolate go into these things with five different tempering processes, and nothing else is close to this. So last night, I made a special trip over to San Angel with my friends Jeremy and Justin just to try it. I didn't ask what it cost, Jim, and I don't care, frankly. It was that good.
Wow. Well, Nancy, who is a chocolate enthusiast, we will have to put this on our radar.
They say it serves four. And Jim, the only four-person team that I think that could finish that much ice cream are the four actors from the cast of Bonanza. there are no regular size four-person groups who can eat that. But we attempted to share it with both tables on either side of us. It was that big.
All right. Well, I'll put in a call to Haas.
Exactly.
We'll see if we can get something going.
In other dining news, character breakfasts are returning to the Magic Kingdom's Crystal Palace. So Pooh, Piglet, and other friends from the 100 Acre Wood will be available for photos and autographs starting October 25th, and reservations are available now if you wanted to book them. That opening date is pushed back a little over a month, I think, because it was originally supposed to be September 20th. So there's still a tiny chance of delay. Jim, I think getting characters back to Crystal Palace has to be a huge priority for Disney's food and bev team. If you look at the unofficial guide's guest satisfaction ratings for Crystal Palace over the last 3 months, it's 78%. And so the average is like 88-89%. But 78% is actually the number at which we tell people, don't visit this restaurant. But when Crystal Palace had characters, guest satisfaction jumps a full 10 points to 88%. Again, that's average as far as sit-down restaurants go in Multi-Screen World. But the important thing is that people accept the value proposition when there are characters. So like nearly 9 in 10 people say they'd do it again. What are your thoughts on this?
From a wait staff point of view, this was one of the most highly sought positions on Disney property because of given how often tables turn at the Crystal Palace and everybody came and filled the table. So you did very well there as a member of the wait staff.
Yeah, I think I told you the story of the first day of reopening. So July of 2020, when I went to be our guest and our server had spent her entire nearly 40-year career with Disney at Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
So they, I mean, the staff just stays.
No, absolutely. If you lend that gig, you keep that gig. So it'll be interesting to see who's there now, you know, because face it, you know, they scattered them all over property.
Yeah, I'm sure they're coming back, but that opens up opportunities elsewhere too. And I mean, if, you know, if you leave Be Our Guest, which is a fairly high priced thing, and you go to Crystal Palace, which is probably similarly priced, you know, you get a little bit more turnover. It's not as much back and forth, so you can serve more tables.
Oh, absolutely.
But the people coming in to replace you at Be Our Guest are getting a pretty high paid gig as well, because, you know, 20% on a mandatory, what, $72 fixed price menu. I mean, that's a chunk of change, right? No, and you multiply it by a family of four, you're making decent money there.
No, absolutely. But a win-win that they open this up and, you know, they'll see their scores shoot up. And I guess the only people to feel bad for are the friends of Pooh who have to make their way through that tightly packed restaurant. You know, I was watching the video the other day of them doing their parade through the restaurant. And it's just sort of like, that's easy to do at a press event when every other table's filled. But when there are dozens of little kids under feet who, you know, are high on sugar because it's like, Pooh's here. That can get challenging.
Exactly. Yeah, then it becomes more difficult, right? All right, so let's do a couple of listener questions. This one's from Pete. This is based on the D23 speculation of a villains themed land in the Magic Kingdom. So Pete says, what villains would you pick rides for and what type if Disney gets smart and either does an expansion in Magic Kingdom or adds villains land somewhere else? I think a Zima's Lair roller coaster with Kronk would be hysterical. P.S. If the current head of Disney Parks ever approves a Tomorrowland expansion, I ask everyone to join me in forever referring to it as a great big beautiful tomorrow. Pete, that is one of the best comments we've ever got.
There we go.
All right. So the main thing, Jim, that I like about a villain's land is that it's adaptable, which means you can update it without spending $100 million on your ride. I mean, if you need rides based on classic villains, whether it's Pete's idea, which I love, from Emperor's New Groove, or it's a jukebox style review, like, you know, some version of the great movie Villains Ride, fine. But imagine a restaurant where the wait staff are the minions of whatever villains are the most popular right now. And the menu items are customized the same way, right? Same thing with the character greetings. You can do a small space like the one Merida uses, and within a month or maybe 3 months if you use the Tron team, you can redo the entire space to whatever movie is the most popular and stick that villain in there. So I really think this is flexible. What do you think?
What intrigued me most about, you know, again, Jennifer Lee standing on stage talking about these projects is she said one of the things going into this was that they were looking to get the films of the past decade in the parks. But at the same time, I think when we look at the Disney villains brand, I mean, you know, they, in fact, during the actual presentation at the D23 Expo, they literally used the moment where Maleficent transforms into the dragon from Sleeping Beauty. So it's a deep bench, Len, and I think you're not wrong in that, you know, this is going to be one of those situations where people are going to want to encounter as many villains as possible. So it's like, okay, so how do you mix that up? Who warrants a ride? Who warrants a meet and greet? Who would be in a stage show?
And I think if the villains are 10 years old, you would have a decent amount of time to compare them to the classic villains to see who fits in, right? And then the newer villains, you could do like the restaurant idea, the meet and greet idea, you know, stuff like that to sort of test them out and see which kinds of ideas work.
I wonder if we are going to see, again, your villain's restaurant idea, if somebody will, decide to let Mother Gothel loose in that space. Because remember, Mother Gothel's the one who walked around and said, ooh, looking kind of chubby, which probably wouldn't move a lot of the chocolate pyramids, Len. You know, it's just sort of like...
It's true. It's true. So there are some constraints. You're right. So maybe a little bit more thought is needed here.
There we go.
All right. Here's a letter from Alex who says, maybe it's because Disney's emphasizing Disney Plus, but I just got a survey about it. And at the beginning of the survey, we had general questions about the Disney Plus service, and then a 1 to 10 rating and some questions about all the brands represented with different series and content. And then Alex sent along some screen caps of this. Said, I'm a 37-year-old male, Alex says, who enjoys older Disney content. And I was raised on both animation and live-action Disney movies from the 60s and 70s. They had a few blank spaces in the survey about adding which shows you would enjoy that aren't currently on Disney Plus. And here's what I replied. I would appreciate more new series, Alex says, that are all ages and adult friendly. Aside from the Disney movies I enjoy, there's little regular content for adults. Please give us a series of skits that mash up Disney, Star Wars, or Marvel stories with an all Muppets cast. Or recordings of vintage Wonderful World of Color / Disney TV specials. I remember watching Walt Disney on the Disney Channel and loving the old shows. Or high quality recordings of vintage Disneyland and other theme park retired nighttime shows and spectaculars. As an example, the original Fantasmic or the original Main Street Parades. Have a great day. I love the show. So I love these ideas, especially the Muppets, Star Wars, Marvel mashups. I mean, imagine those, Jim, as like 8-minute shorts, which, by the way, they've tried to do with the Muppets, right? But sort of like the Wonderful World of Mickey Mouse shorts, because that you're able to test the ideas, and not for nothing. Those Mickey Mouse shorts led to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which will be in both Disneyland and Walt Disney World soon, right?
They did. Now, mind you, the Mayhem series that's about to debut on Disney Plus. In fact, the gimmick is that the Electric Mayhem, after having toured for decades, is finally doing their first in-studio album, and it's and it's just the notion of dropping those characters in the really real world of today's music and social media and dealing with performers today, but at the same time trying to wrangle them into recording 10 songs for this album. And
you thought getting Van Halen back together was tough.
No, okay. That's it exactly. You know, animals off the leash again. That's kind of the problem right now with the Muppets, that they had the full attention of the Disney company. But let's be honest here, between Marvel and Pixar and Lucasfilm and the Muppets, it's kind of sputtering. But to get back to the suggestions the listener made, there's been some discussion about the Vault Disney stuff. But coming down from really high, like the corner office at Disney, the feeling is that's the old stuff. Yes, we will get around to that eventually, but there's like tremendous pressure. I mean, they spent, what, $74 billion to acquire the Fox Film Library, which if you thought the Disney Film Library is being underutilized, let me introduce you to the Fox Film Library.
Yeah, it's just a matter of where do they begin, right?
That's it exactly. So
I'm still kind of surprised that the Wonderful World of Color isn't yet on Disney Plus, because you would guess, and this is just a ballpark thing, I don't know, that half the people who subscribe, the domestic subscribers of Disney Plus, are also theme park fans and fans of Walt and would love to see this stuff. And it's already been paid for.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But the thinking in-house is, okay, Marvel is doing great and Star Wars is finally doing what it's supposed to. And it's, the Muppets. So,
Well, I mean, the good news is, you know, from a content perspective for Alex, our listener, is that it's true about Disney Plus, which somebody once said about CNN when it came out. And that is, you have to fill 24 hours of news cycle with news, whether there's news or not, right? So they need 24 hours of something, right? And Disney Plus needs something no matter what. So eventually they'll get around to it, I think.
There we go. That's right. The one saving grace.
Yeah. So don't give up hope, Alex. I'm with you on this.
Okay.
All right, folks. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we return, Jim tells us about how the parks prepared for Hurricane Jean back in 2004.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Jim, relevant topic for what we're doing here.
Yes, yes. Again, you know, we are headed out on the water shortly, Mr. Testa. So again, you reviewed your literature sent by the Disney Cruise Line, right? You made your offering to King Triton, or at the very least went out and bought a lot of Little Mermaid plush.
You know, I was very careful, Jim, to ensure that the shrimp I had at Sebastian's for dinner the other night were not close personal friends of King Triton.
There we go.
Who knows if that worked?
Well, we'll see. And I bring this up, folks, because I'm concerned. I mean, we literally just missed Hurricane Fiona, which is now in the Western Atlantic. Tropical Storm Gaston is swirling somewhere out there in the Central Atlantic. And have you heard about this storm that's tracking now to attack the Gulf of Mexico next week? The people at the Weather Channel are already using the word monster, Len.
Going back to my Emperor's Groove reference from earlier, bring it on.
Okay. All right. Well, again, yes, our cruise is scheduled to set sail, and we don't need to deal with what Walt Disney World guests dealt with 18 years ago today, which was when all four Disney World theme parks shut down for the day due to Hurricane Jean. Now, if you bring up the 2004 hurricane season to Disney fans, you can literally watch them squirm, because this was the first year. I mean, the park obviously had been open since 71. They only began closing the parks for hurricanes. What was that, 85 with Hurricane, September of 99 with Hurricane Floyd, where, Len, for the 2004 hurricane season, the parks either partially or completely closed three times. There was Hurricane Charlie, which came August 13th, 2004. And that morning, they just didn't open Animal Kingdom, because it was one of these things where it's like, okay, we have to get all of the animals who were on exhibit backstage to the barn. So it just makes no sense to open this park at all that day. But whereas the other three Disney parks, you know, were open till noon, and then they sort of shoot everybody, you know, out, and the parks officially closed at one. On the other hand, the storm that followed this, Hurricane Frances, that was the most extensive hurricane-related closure ever done in the Disney parks' histories. All four parks were closed on September 4th and 5th. And in fact, when the resort came back up on the 6th, it was only the Magic Kingdom at Epcot that opened. You know, the...
Because the Animal Kingdom had, like, tree branches down from all the landscaping. Yeah.
That's the thing that people don't understand about Animal Kingdom. And yeah, they look at it, they see the lush horticulture and that sort of thing. And it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. It would take longer to clear the paths and walkways at that park, get them safe for guests and that sort of thing. But you don't get to do just that, Len. You have to actually go into the animal enclosures and, in the case of Kilimanjaro Safari, make sure that you've got a clear path for those troop transports that they use. But you also have to go through and inspect all of the trees to make sure that there's not something here that potentially is going to hurt an animal. And so that really slowed down the progress there. And then getting to the storm we'll be talking about today, on the 26th, we had Hurricane Jean, and all four parks closed on that day. Now, it was one of the deadliest hurricanes in the Atlantic ever recorded. Caused near-record flooding as far north as West Virginia and New Jersey. And before it blew itself out, Len, Jean caused $7.5 billion worth of property damage in the continental United States.
Amazing.
When it made landfall on the night of September 25th, it came in at Hutchinson's Island, which is just east of Port St. Lucie in Florida, which was the exact same place that Hurricane Francis had come in just 3 weeks earlier. So
This ain't my day.
They had literally taken the plywood off of their houses and were frantically putting it back up. So you can get why the folks in Florida, when they saw Gene headed their way after Francis, it's like, okay, this is not a drill. We just saw what it did in Haiti, which by the way, over 3,000 people killed. Entire towns washed away by mudslides and that sort of thing. All right, this is not a drill. We just lost our citrus crop with Francis. We're shutting the state down. Which, when you're the Walt Disney World Resort and you have 30-plus hotels on site, you have a lot of guests who are now on property because they canceled their trip 3 weeks earlier for Francis?
Right. Yeah, and now you have to get, they can't get flights out. Some of them don't have cars.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Oh, what about, what do they do with Fort Wilderness? People who are camping.
They politely go to every site and you leave documentation of the fact of there's a storm coming. We may need to evacuate you. But at the same time, you know, people are in the parks or they're out shopping and that sort of thing. They'll, right. They'll come back late at night and maybe not see this. So the next morning you have this dedicated team of cast members who are out there at 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning.
Start knocking on doors.
Yeah, to the effect of we're going to need you to pack up and come with us. In a lot of cases, what they did is they found rooms for these folks in hotels on property. But when there weren't available hotel rooms, what they would do is they would just set up cots inside of the Grand Ballroom at the Contemporary. But what was interesting, again, is Disney tried then to understand that you basically destroyed somebody's vacation, so you got to bury the needle in the other direction. So there was this dedicated group of the zoo crew that would go over there with a van load of character costumes and just basically spend hours out in the lobby playing with kids, you know, while the storm raged outside.
We're doing 3 shows a night of vaudeville with Winnie the Pooh.
Exactly. There we go. Now, there were also folks who were staying at the Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort and the All-Star that were evacuated to the Coronado and Yacht and Beach Club because of the possibility of flooding. So any idea which wings we're talking about here? Or?
So it had to be almost all of Caribbean Beach. Because if you think about Caribbean Beach, it's almost all of the buildings are situated around a lake. And the way that the drainage works, there is vegetation on either side, basically tree stands that in normal times would absorb the water from, you know, regular rain. But those areas, and they're, I mean, you know, many square miles, they drain into the Caribbean Beach Lake as runoff, right? Because the alternative is to put the runoff on like Buena Vista Drive or Epcot Center Drive, which you're not going to do, right? So they point the runoff towards the lake, and then the lake eventually spills into canals and Bonnet Creek and stuff like that, right?
Okay.
But remember, Caribbean Beach is two-story buildings. So it's not like you can evacuate them to a fourth story because the fourth story doesn't exist. And there's something like a dozen, maybe 15 buildings that are super close to the lake. Like even if the land was tilted up a little bit, the ones closest to the lake are the ones at the lowest sea level. So that's the problem that you face at Caribbean Beach. My guess is they probably evacuated everyone from Caribbean Beach.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But again, we're concentrating on the resort side. And obviously, as you mentioned, a lot of folks who are stuck in place who can't get flights out. And, you know, Disney did what they could. But we touched briefly on what was going on at like Animal Kingdom. But it's what they do at the parks, you know, getting ready for a hurricane that's fascinating.
Oh, think about all the like the outdoor seating restaurant umbrellas you gotta pack in.
Yeah. And there have been, to date, 7 of these storms that have shut down the Disney World Resort. I said, in fact, I want to say the most recent one was Hurricane Dorian in 2019. What they will do is they, as you mentioned, they walk around the park and look at anything that could potentially become a missile in a hurricane-force wind. So by now, Disney actually
there's a checklist.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they've got an emergency preparedness team that, for example, they will gather up as many of the trash cans in one area of the park and lash them together.
It's going to be one hell of a raft, Jim.
There we go. There we go. Likewise, at the Magic Kingdom, a lot of the chairs and the seats get hauled down into the utilidors.
Yeah.
Over at Epcot, back when the Wonders of Life was up and running, they would just empty everything for Future World that was not tied down and bring it indoors there.
Into that, yeah.
It's a well-established procedure. The job, though, Len, that fascinated me is that they would tap a select number of Disney cast members, folks who'd been with the company a number of years, and offer them the opportunity to be part of the ride-out team.
I would pay money to do this, Jim.
I would be fascinated as well. You're a Disney cast member who's paid double time if you do the day shift, triple time if you do the nighttime shift, but you are...
I would do it for free.
There we go. Okay, putting that on notice, folks. You had a call test out with the next storm. But yeah, you sit inside the park, mind you, in a position where you are out of the weather, you're out of the wind, but you can...
Yeah, well, you're in the Tomorrowland bathrooms, somewhere surrounded by concrete and secure. Yeah.
But your job is to report back into the storm center to the effect of, okay, yeah. do you see any extensive damage? What is happening? Because the idea is that the second that the storm is over, the resort needs to know to prioritize, to the effect of, okay, we got trees down all over the hub. We need to get horticulture over here, because if we're going to get our most popular park open, for all of the guests that are staying at our 30 some odd, on-site resorts, we have to scramble people in the right direction. And
there's a tree down on Main Street. Nobody's getting into the park until that's resolved, right? Stuff like that.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. And we talked about, the whole Animal Kingdom thing, the notion of that is still the most problematic park. And we are still quite a ways away from the 2022 hurricane season being over.
Oh, yeah.
It runs from June to November 30th, right, Len?
But even then, the trend is for, the waters to warm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think water warming is actually peaking right now, so it'll start cooling off. But those are historical trends. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Okay.
You mentioned the thing about Animal Kingdom. I think one of the interesting things about that, too, is it's not only making sure the animals are safe,
mm-hmm.
but, that's a 500-acre park. You got to go around and make sure that mm-hmm. all of those fences are still in place.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it becomes like Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Right?
Hey, has anyone seen the crocodiles? Did we have 20 or 21? Do you remember, Jim? We had 16, right? 15, yeah. Absolutely.
It is a challenge, and it's worth noting that Hurricane Sandy, which to date is the most costly damaging hurricane in U.S. history, $70 billion worth of damage. That was 10 years ago. Sandy got started in late October and it really trashed the eastern seaboard in the first couple of days of November. So we ain't out of the woods yet. So long story short, Len, again, just go out, buy some more plush, make an offering to the King Drayton. We don't want to tick that guy with the crown and the trident off, okay? Just saying.
There may be human sacrifice in our future, we'll see.
Okay.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have today. Jim and I are giving out free ice cream at the Salt and Straw Shop in Disney Springs in like an hour. It's a pre-sailing event for tomorrow's Disney Dish on the Disney Wish Cruise. And Jim, because we've just cursed ourselves talking about hurricanes before getting on that ship, let me just say, in what might be our last ever show, it's been an honor and a privilege, and I had fun. But if we don't end up on a deserted island, you can help support our show and Jim Hill Media by subscribing over at disneydish.bandcamp.com, where you'll find exclusive shows never before heard on iTunes. Several new Bandcamp exclusives are available, including Epic Universe and Cars Land, and more are coming up. You can find more of Jim at jimhillmedia.com and more of me, Len, at touringplans.com. We're produced fabulously by Aaron Adams, who's bringing Uncle Kennesaw Adams' trusty mule, Snowball, to the 33rd annual Pea Ridge Mule Jump. It's coming October 8th, 2022, in the field just behind the Pea Ridge City Court in beautiful downtown Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Thanks to listener Jimmy Shattuck for paying Snowball's entry fee for these events. While Aaron's doing that, please go into iTunes and rate our show and tell us what you'd like to hear next. For Jim, this is Len. We will see you on the next show.